I invite you to turn to the book of Lamentations. There in chapter 3, there's a set of verses that I'd like to use as a title of our lesson this evening. And Lamentations more than likely was written by the prophet Jeremiah. And he had these words to say, beginning in verse 22 of chapter 3. You have to consider now what he had just been through. There was a concern for the loss of Jerusalem and also the Israelite family. The nation of God was sinning and appeared to be lost, as was the city of Jerusalem. Many difficulties surrounded Jeremiah that hour, that day, when he was penning these words. And he's found to say here in verse 22 through the verse 24, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." What he's saying here, in the midst of all the troubles that is surrounding him, that the Lord's love never ceases. He says also regarding every morning he rises, these blessings, the love of God is new. New every morning. I got a few scriptures that I'd like to study with you this afternoon and point out regarding the things in Jesus Christ and our Lord and Savior that appear to be the reasons that things are new every morning to you and I, if we are able to live through each morning. But we do have a blessed privilege of humbling ourselves before our Father in heaven to speak to him in prayer through his Son, Jesus Christ. A brother has been selected to word that prayer. Let us humble ourselves in some manner while we go to God in prayer. As I said earlier, the book of Lamentation was more than likely written by the prophet Jeremiah. And this book, Lamentations, focuses all upon the destruction of Jerusalem and what had happened. But as you read this book, you find it's written kind of poetically. Somewhat reminds you of some of the Psalms. But nevertheless, there's some poetic writings in this particular book. It's kind of an easy read and kind of easy to understand. But you have to understand also that the writer, Jeremiah, alternates between writing about the destruction of Jerusalem and also the Israelite nation, the people's sins, the sinful nature, that they were not following the Lord and Savior. And in these particular verses that we read in your hearing, we see that Jeremiah is writing and realizes that God's mercies never fail. They are with him all the time. What is the objective of this portion of scripture that we read? Well, the objective is that we wake up each morning knowing that the Lord is there for us, knowing that the Lord is available to us, knowing that his mercies and love is extended to us every morning that he allows us to rise up. As I said, the book of Lamentations is a mournings. Mournings of Jeremiah over those events that had happened. In this book, or rather in the book of Jeremiah, he speaks of unimaginable things that happened on the part of the people. But here he strives to console himself and tries to console the people that he's writing to and about with images, that is, images of God himself, that he's new every morning, of his mercies and his love for each and every one. One aspect of God's mercy as he writes here, they are new every morning. You might say this book, that is Lamentations, is a written description of the funeral of Jerusalem. The city was full of people. It was a bulging and growing city, but now, at this point in time, it's been carried into captivity. There she sits, lonely and solitaire, forlorn. Her king, which was as a husband to her, is now gone. She's emptied of her children, solitary. She's sorrowful as a widow. A city that used to be full of love, full of happiness, has now become one that's full of grief. And in the latter part of chapter 1 of this book, you can read of the acknowledgement that the hand of God had in the destruction of Jerusalem. And in the third chapter, which we selected these particular scriptures, the prophet Jeremiah writes that God is angry. God is angry because of the sins of the people. Jeremiah is writing of the bitterness that God feels toward that. You know, God does show anger. He gets angry with his people. He gets angry with you and I. He still loves us, but he's anger that we might have sin or might submit to sin that is around us. You know, by this, but the Lord himself doesn't take the sword to destroy, but rather he takes a rod to correct us. And Jeremiah gained much hope in the aspect of God's character. He says that it was due to God's mercy that they, his people, he is not being consumed. He's not being done away with. And because of this, Jeremiah puts his trust, his total trust in God, and puts all his hope in him. One of the aspects of God's mercy is that Jeremiah mentions here, they're new every morning. Each morning the clouds begin to disperse. The sky begins to clear up. The sun begins to shine. But the mourners here begin to take a look a bit upbeat as each morning arises. You know, the church itself is like the burning bush of Moses, but it's not consumed, just as the burning bush was not consumed. The church is persecuted by men, but it's not persecuted by God. The church is cast down, but it's not destroyed. God is an inexcusable fountain of mercy. Had we been dealt with according to our sins, we have no reason to be here. We should have been destroyed long ago. But yet, by his mercy, God's mercy, we're able to live. We're able to live and wake up each morning and understand that his love is still with us, still abounds. Morning is such a glorious day, isn't it? I know I enjoy the mornings, and I'm sure that most of you do. When you wake up in the morning, everything seems to be fresh and new. We're just getting started for the day. The sun is just coming up. The long shadow still has come. You can see from the east. And I enjoy sitting out on the patio in the morning and drinking a cup of coffee, and listening to the birds sing and thinking about what I'm going to be doing that day. You know, we have a great reason to know and understand the mercies of God. We receive those mercies and the love of him from his hands every morning. And let's consider some reasons why we, just like Jeremiah, can believe that God's mercies are new every morning. And I've selected a number of scriptures to identify why God's love and mercies to us, maybe we might consider them new every morning. First of all, God's mercies are new every morning because He is present. He is in our lives. The simple fact that God's being present here every morning with us, that we rise, renews us in His mercies. Isaiah himself speaks regarding God's eternal presence in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31, and they read, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." In other words, there's no end of searching for his understanding. He understands all. It is infinite. His love is infinite to each of us. It reaches all persons and all things. And therefore, he cannot be at a loss to provide for his people. Then also in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." Those who are in communion with God must have no communication with the unfruitful works of darkness. And also in Psalms 100, verse 5, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." God is faithful to his people. He's faithful for them to keep what they've committed to his care and to give them the crown of righteousness in the last day, that crown that has been laid up for you and I. Regardless of what we do in our life, God's always present. He's always faithful. And because of this, every morning that we awake, God is there. God's mercies are new and they're fresh. We awake to another God's days with a renewed vigor, knowing that his mercies are present. God's mercies are also new every morning because of his blessings. His blessings continue, even his physical blessings. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, we find these words: "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." You know, the seasons that we experience here are the fulfillment of that promise. They are more or less, at one time or another, across the globe, everybody seems to experience the change of seasons. And that will happen until the world comes to an end. Also found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, "For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." We hear that quoted many times. It seems that that is one of the most considerable blessings of life that we have. It's a gift of God. He doesn't select who he gives the rain on the good and evil, and everyone is bestowed this particular gift. And also found in Acts chapter 14, verse 17, "Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." We find another record of his blessings to each and every one of us. God provides to us everything. Seed time and harvest are from his hands. All the material wealth that we have comes from his hands. Nothing new is constructed or made without resources that come from God. You know, we as a people are industrious, aren't we? Engineers are always finding something, always designing something to make our life easier, more efficient. IT personnel are constantly evolving the world of technologies. Is this all new? Well, maybe the result might be, or the product might be new, but every one of these IT people, engineers, use the original materials that has been provided by God himself to generate or create something different, something new that will help us. The raw materials are there, and that's what is used. It's just a matter of putting those pieces together. Because no new raw materials are created by us. What about the spiritual blessings that he gives us? They're unfailing. We find in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14, again the Apostle Paul writes to us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Every blessing of grace comes to his children, that is God's children. And also in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God is the author. He is the giver of all blessings. Everything comes from him. And because of his blessings do continue, his mercy is new every morning for us. God's mercies are new every morning because old things are passed away. Wouldn't it be great to wake up some morning and have all of our past mistakes erased? That, in essence, is what God does to those who live for him. Consider in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Here is defined a new course of life that Paul writes of. We have become a new creature, having been baptized in Christ. We are a new creation. We are in the world as a Christian. Also in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We all know that baptism represents the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are raised out of the water to represent our resurrection from that death of sin. While we have to live with the consequences of our sin, our past choices, we don't have to live with the guilt. If we are in Christ, as Paul says, old things are passed away. And Paul continues on to exhort our lives, to live our lives like this on a daily basis. Old things are passed away. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, he writes, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul didn't stop to look behind himself to see where he had been or where he was about to run or where others were in the race around him. He was looking for the finish line, the winning course, He was looking for the crown of life, which has been promised to all those who are obedient. The crown of life that does not fade away. And also in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, and have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We will be perfected in heaven when we will see him as he is. He is the creator of all. He is the author, and he is the finisher of all. Because old things are passed away, God's mercies are new every morning. They're also new every morning because his promises are true. Each of us, I know, are conscious of our weaknesses and our insufficiencies, but he has promised his believers that we will receive blessings at the end. Again, this Jeremiah writes in his book, Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 42, "For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them." God is faithful to his promises, just as he is faithful to his threatenings. And also, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, "But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." God is sincere in his resolutions. He's sincere in his promises to each of his followers. And then also in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, we find these words, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." God's promises are exceedingly great. They are precious. They are free. They are unconditional. They are irrevocable. Jesus, at his resurrection, is a promise that we will soon be resurrected as he at death. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, we find these words, "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." In other words, if we are followers of him, we'll be resurrected to live with he and the saints of all eternity. We'll be sanctified by him by virtue of our union to Jesus Christ and following him. Well, in conclusion, God's mercies are new every morning because of these four points that you see before you. He is present. His blessings continue. Old things are passed away. His promises are sure. And because of these four elements, God's love is new every morning. This completes my thoughts on this subject. As we gather here this evening, we never know the minds or the hearts of each individual that's gathered here. We never know if there's those in the audience which is subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ that we will extend in a few moments. Jesus Christ asks us to come to him, loving him, to be obedient to his commands by believing in his word. And having believed that word will cause us to repent of our past sins. And then confession of his name before others. And then be baptized for remission of our sins. To arise as a new creature in Christ. to rise to live a life as a Christian for him and through him. But sometimes we falter, we fail him, we fall back, we err, we sin. But we do know that he is holy, his love surrounds us, and he's asking us to repent of past sins and ask his prayer, or ask his blessings in prayer to him, and ask his forgiveness. If it be done of a public manner, that needs to be done in a public fashion by repenting of sin and confessing of your error and asking for the prayer of the faithful. If there be any in the audience that is subject to the invitation, we bid you come forward as we stand to sing this hymn that's been selected.